Yes, I said we're hitting kind of low numbers today, but we want to thank the Lord, many of us as well, that we are today. It's a blessing to be in God's house. It's always warm on the inside. Thank you. Hope everybody is comfortable this morning. Matthew chapter 13, a very familiar verse of scriptures this morning, but my title and message this morning, Has the Gospel Failed? Has the gospel failed? Well, Jesus answered this question, and there are seven parables in this chapter 13. Seven means complete. When Jesus gets through teaching on these parables on chapter 13, he will complete. Has the gospel failed? Today, he's just going to be answering part of it. And the sower went forth to sow seed. And there's four types of ground, four types of heart. The Word of God is a seed. The sower is Jesus Christ in this parable. And that soil is the heart. And a lot of times we might ask ourselves this question, have the gospels failed? Because we look around us today, we look into our families, and where is your families at today? Is all of them saved and serving the Lord today? Is all your families saved, and are they really serving the Lord today? Well, how about our churches today? We have been in this new church now for going on 4 years, and we still have some vacant pews today. How come our church is not full and running over? We got just about enough of members in this church to fill up this church, and they have to put out some chairs just in this church. Not talking about our visitor that should be here with us every day. And if you invited anybody this week, there should be more visitors with us than they are today. So as we look at our churches, and not this one here, but look at our churches around our country, has the gospel failed? Well, let's look at our nation today. As our nation, we see the unrest in our nation today. Has the really gospel failed? As we see so much disturbance in our nation that we have today, a nation that's founded on Christianity, then I ask you, has the gospel failed? We know as we look upon our world today and see the disappointments and distress that we have in our world today. Jesus Christ started off with just 12 people, and one of them was the devil himself. And Jesus Christ, as he went to the grave and died for the sins of the world, rose again, went back to heaven, sent the Holy Spirit back to be with those people in the upper room, 120 people, and the day at Pentecost, the Spirit of God came to live in man's heart. There was just a few number of people. Peter went out and preached the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 souls were saved, and then 5,000 souls were saved, and it began to grow faster and faster and faster into Christianity. But how about today? How about today as we look around our world today and says, what has happened? What has happened? Has the gospel failed? Well, the gospel has been preached now for over 2,000 years, the saving message of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, the message of the death and the burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ has set a person's soul free from hell, free from the bondage of sin, and set them up on the great throne of God. Has the gospel failed today? What's happening in our world, in our communities, in our churches, in our families today, and has the gospel failed? If we don't take a real good look at the theology of the Word of God to understand this, we might look around and see the circumstances that we are in today in all areas of our life, and we might say, well, the gospel must be failed. But I tell you, the gospel have not failed. The gospel have not failed. And here that Jesus Christ, and a lot of times reason we find out that a lot of pastors, and we preach our heart out every time that we get an opportunity, and seem like just no one comes. What's wrong today? What's wrong? Jesus Christ says that it cannot fail and it will not fail. The gospel of Jesus Christ, it will never fail. And Jesus answered that in these seven parables. And he says the reason why that it cannot fail and why it's like it is today, and why people don't come forward, and why that all of our families are not in the house of God, and all of our families are not saved, and all of our church this day, even this church is not filled up, and all the churches around the community today is not filled up. And look at our country as our country here this day. What is the reason today? What is the reason? And he answered, why? Well, as we think about this, every time I preach, I expect someone to be saved. Every time I preach the Word of God, I expect someone to come. I expect some movement. I pray every time before I get up here, some movement of God be on someone's life. I pray that someone will be saved, some lives will be changed. Well, answer this, as you preach and you Sunday school teachers, as you teach your class, and do you really see any evidence in your teaching and your study and my preaching and our soul winning? And sometimes that you even have to look at yourself, and I have looked at myself and I said, well, maybe the problem's me. Maybe it's my preaching. Maybe I need to leave. Maybe someone else could come and preach better than I can, or preach a different message that I can. But maybe it's me. Maybe I'm not preaching the right thing. Maybe I'm just not preaching the right thing. But then I studied my heart and prepared my heart, studied everything that I've been preaching, and maybe I say I'm not visited enough, and maybe you're not visited enough. I feel like I'm a failure no matter how good a sermon someone says. I've enjoyed your sermon. It was good. We appreciate that. I really got a lot out of your sermon. Then if no one comes forward and says, I feel like I'm a failure. I feel like I'm a failure when somebody is saved. Is it my fault? Is it my fault? Well, I preach the best gospel in the world, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Is it our fault? Is it my fault? Is it your fault? Have I really failed? As I search this many, many times, and I know all preacher has this same problem than I do. I know that Brother Darrell had this, and Brother Vernon do. Is it really my fault? Well, Ezekiel chapter 3, let me read these verses of Scripture to start with and have a prayer. In verse 1 through 3, in Matthew 13, verses 1 through 3, it's a long parable. I'll read the first three. Keep your Bibles open. The same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the seaside, and multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore, and he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. Let us pray. Jesus, our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the preciousness of the Word of God. Father, we want to thank you for the power that we know that's in the Word of God, that's sent forth by the power of the Spirit of God. And Father, the hearts that hear this day, and Father, the hearts, Father, that hears the Word of God. Father, we know, Lord, that your Word is honest, your Lord is true, Lord is powerful. And Father, we just pray the guidance of the Holy Spirit of God. But Father, we know there's many hearts many times will not receive the Word of God. Father, we know the hearts are so hardened and they will not accept it. Father, we know it's not your Word. Lord, we know it's not your gospel. But Father, we understand through reading the Word of God that, Father, it's the hearts of the people that will not accept your Word of God. They will not heed to the Word of God. They will not, Lord, they will not do the Word of God that they have heard. They hear with their ears, but they do not have the understanding in their heart. Help us, Father, to keep going, oh Father, regardless of what it looks like on the scene. Oh, Father, because we know the gospel will never fail. Father, we know whenever Jesus Christ comes back, he will find faith. And Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for the enlightenment of the Word of God. Help us, each one of us this day, to look around and not look at the situations, oh God, in this world and circumstances, but look at the Word of God and what you are really doing. And we want to thank you, Lord, for answering, Lord, even my request this hour for us to understand what's really happening in our country, in our churches, and in our families this day. And all these blessings we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior. As I was looking through Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 7 says, but the house of Israel will not hearken unto you, for they will not hear unto me, saith the Lord. For all the house of Israel are hard-hearted. Ezekiel 2 and 5 says, and they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, refuse to hear. For they are a rebellious house, yea, shall know that there have been a prophet among them. Even though they shall know that there have been a prophet among them. Now that is my request. Thank you, Lord, here this day for helping me out, help me understand this as I preach the word of God. It says, they shall know that there have been a prophet among them. I like to tell you, in the past history of this church, you got something to be very, very proud of. They have been some conservative preachers at this church, have preached the message of God throughout the years. I remember Brother Owen, as I certainly remember him preaching the word of God so many times, and then come along with Brother Darrell, and I've told him this before, whenever I wasn't in this area, I was in another area preaching. Darrell, I appreciate you preaching the word of God and being a conservative man and preaching the word of God. And I know that Darrell had searched his heart many times, and he'd know that people would not come as they should. They wouldn't come in Sunday school. They wouldn't be in back in church as they should. He searched his heart many times why people was not saved. But thank you, Lord. Thank you, Darrell, for preaching the word of God. And I tell you today, I know that a lot of people can preach better than I can, but I preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I'm going to tell you what, it will cut, it will do its thing. Whenever I leave, I don't care about anybody remembering me, no matter how long that I'm standing back at this pulpit, but I want you to understand that I'm preaching the word of God, and I preach exactly what God wants me to do, although a lot of times I have to really search my heart and really pray, God, is this really what you want me to preach? I have been made fun of many, many times by what I preach and even the way I preach, even here at Pleasant Hill, but I got to keep on going because I'm not looking at people. I'm looking at Jesus Christ. I'm here today. I tell you, I'm not here to please you. I'm here to please Jesus Christ. And the reason I come to church, I don't come to church for you. I come to church for Jesus Christ, and y'all all ought to take note of that. It's because of Jesus Christ, the reason we're here this day. And I'm going to preach the word of God. I'm sure that people can preach better than I can, but if you listen to this message, I do believe every time I stand behind this pulpit, there's something that I might be able to say. It's carried to your heart by the word of God and by the Spirit of God that you might get something out of this message if you brought something with you this day. And if you have an understanding heart, there's a message for you here this day. So as we preach the word of God, it says, they shall know that there have been a prophet among them. Now, as we say this, you know, it's not my responsibility, as I understand, and I wrestle this with the pressure that we have and all pastors have, but I'm going to tell you, it's not my responsibility to make the gospel work. It's only my responsibility to proclaim it and to preach it. That's hard for me to understand because I want to see evidence every time I preach the word of God. But it's not for me to make it work. It's me to preach and proclaim the message of Jesus Christ, our dying Savior. Jesus answered them, and he says, the gospel is preached. Sometimes people will respond. Sometimes they will not respond. Verse 3, he started preaching in a parable or teaching in a parable. This is the first time that Jesus Christ started teaching in a parable. Now listen here, they are four types of soil, as I told you. Jesus Christ, now, he was a master teacher. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, preaching to multitude of people, and use an illustration here of four different types of soil. And I want to tell you, there's only one of those hearts that would accept the word of God, the teaching from the lips of Jesus Christ, and only one-fourth of the people, when Jesus Christ showed us here in this parable, only one-fourth of the people accepted it with a hearing of the heart, and they were saved, and they began to bring forth fruit and much more fruit. The rest of those three, they did not want to hear. They had hard hearts. They had stony hearts. They did not take the word in their heart, and they were not saved. A lot of people today, a lot of church members, a lot of people are fooled by thinking just because they come down an aisle and are baptized and are a member of the church, thinking they're saved. And I tell you, the word of God tells us and shows us here only one-fourth of the people that Jesus was teaching to. Now, he spoke in parables. The first time he spoke in parables, the introduction is a method of his teaching, and that is that he spoke to them in a parable. A parable now is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, and it's talking about a sower, as we all know today. But he says also there's a mystery now of introduction. There's a mystery of his teaching. Verse 10 and verse 11, as it says, and the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest unto them in parables? Jesus Christ answered in verse 11, it says, he answered and said unto him, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Who was he talking to? To them, those who have not attended hearts, they do not want to hear the word of God. Many at that time became followers of Jesus Christ, but they began to follow away, and then began to teach them in parable because they did not want to hear. So he just hid it from them. Now, they didn't want to hear, he just took it away from them. A mystery is a hidden truth that you will never, ever get with human wisdom or human knowledge, no matter how hard you try. Paul says, I show you a mystery. And the mystery that Paul says that I'll show you was a mystery of the church. For all the Old Testament saints, all the Old Testament that you have, I'm going to tell you, all the great men of God, all the prophets of God, all the scholars of God, they could not understand the mystery of the church, but why it had not been revealed unto them. It was a mystery. They could not understand the first and second coming of Jesus Christ. They could not understand the long valley between those two, because the long valley of the church age, and they was mighty, mighty religious men. They was prophets of God all through the Old Testament. They was very religious men. I'm a very intellectual man, but they could not with human wisdom understand their life, and they searched and searched and searched, and they could not understand the wisdom, because God had not revealed to them the wisdom of the church that you and I live in now and enjoy in what we call the era of grace, the period of grace today in the church age today. They could not understand that. Well, verse 11, it says, you cannot understand it with your intellectual, but God teaches me. There's no way that we can understand the mystery of the Word of God. I don't care who you are. I don't care how much that I study. I don't care how much I read. I don't care what makes a scholar of the Word of God. Until God reveals it to them, they cannot understand it. God must reveal it to them in the illumination light of the Spirit of God today. God has to reveal to them the mystery. So he had a mystery, then everybody was not going to understand his teaching. Then he says, you know, the motive of his teaching. Verse 12, listen very carefully, because here's where it comes into verse 12. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundantly. But whosoever have not, from him shall be taken away, even that he had. This is a spiritual illustration is a spiritual principle, also a physical principle. God, listen to what it says, God does business with those that means business. You know why some fall away? You know why some don't never come back? You know why some don't want to come? God does business with those that means business. Get it down and get it straight. That is the truth. That is the truth. Listen to this, it says, the story now, there's something way beneath the surface. And God answers this, has the gospel failed? No, sir. It's the hearts that's wrong this day. I was watching television, I believe, yesterday, and it says that Christianity, was a shocking thing to me, was growing more percentage in Red China than in the United States of America. Get this. Growing faster in China than in the United States of America. The gospel is the same gospel. What is the difference? The difference people wants to hear. When I go off to the mission field, when I'm fixing to go down to Mexico and Texas, people are starved to hear the message of a saving power of Jesus Christ. Why people like to go to the mission field? Because there's something different out on the mission field. People want to know the Word of God. They want to hear the saving message and know what it will do for them. They've seen the evidence. They want more of it. God does business with those that means business. It's the same gospel today. God speaks to those that wants to hear. You know what our problem is in our area? People do not want to hear the truth of the Word of God. They don't want to hear it. They're not going to accept it. And that's the reason we have the problems we're having in our country this day. Verse 9, who would have an ear? It says, let him hear. It's the same thing as a businessman today. A businessman has $100,000. He wants to invest it in two of these businesses. So he invests $50,000 in each one of these businesses. And one of these businesses begin to make money. Time he puts it in that business. The other business he puts $50,000 in begins to lose money that day and begins to lose money and begins to lose money. I'd like to ask you a question. If that businessman is going to add more money to either one of these businesses, which one would he add it to? I mean, is that so hard for us to understand? God means to do business with those that means business. And it's just that simple. It is just that simple today. Another reason he spoke in parable is to reveal to those that's ready to receive it. Those 12, those inner circle, they was ready to receive it. For you here this day, there may be some that don't want to receive this word. They some here today are closing out their heart. They're not going to hear it. But I'm going to tell you the same message that preached to every heart and every here is in this building this day. You may not believe it, but I'm going to tell you, God says, do not forsake assembling yourself together as the sun does. As day approaching, I'm going to tell you, God expects you to be here if you're a saved person this day and all the people that saved today. But people is not going to hear the word of God. God does business for those that wants to hear the word of God. Also, he does this. He preaches in parable to conceal it from them. Verses 13 and 14 in the same chapter. Therefore spoke I unto them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, by hearing they shall hear and not understand, and seeing they shall see and not perceive. Preaching to them, he says, I will even take away from what they have already had. Yeah, that's something you say. You mean take it away? Yes. Verse 11, chapter 11 and 12, when Jesus Christ was preaching to the multitude, he was preaching to the multitude and many people was coming. He was healing the multitude with all type of sickness, chapter 11 and 12, before we get into chapter 13. And then the opposition began to raise against Jesus Christ at the top of his ministry. And then in chapter 12 and verse 24, this is what it says, as he began to preach the word of God, it says, after he healed many people, but when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow does not cast out demons, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. They claimed Jesus Christ was the devil himself. That's where he got his power. This was a warning against sinning against the Holy Spirit of God. That sin that's so terrible that cannot be forgiven in this life, either the life to come, a warning against sinning against the Holy Spirit. Now, verse 15 and 16, it also says down, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their hearts and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Blessed are you today if you're taking this message in and your ears of your understanding is open and you understand what Christ has told you this day. If you understand where that you should be and how that you should serve the Lord, that's good. Because there's a warning now to be very careful with the truth that you hear. Because you cannot put truth on ice and just hold it. It will not do that. I'm going to tell you, the truth will be taken away from that person. Hear me now. The truth will be tucked away from that person if they think they can just hold this. I told you many times, the Holy Spirit of God will not lay dormant. Some people, well, I've been saved for 40 years and they never come to church and have no idea of whatsoever they've been saved. I'm going to tell you, the Spirit of God will not lay dormant. God will take it away. Not that you ever was saved, that was never saved, but they had the truth, but they would not sink it down in their heart to understand this truth, and God will take it away. For 2 Thessalonians 2 and 11 says, for this cause God shall send them strong delusion. They should believe a lie, that they might be damned, who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. Jesus says, I will not cast my pearls among the swine. Pleasant Hill, truth is a very dangerous thing. I preach the truth of the Word of God. I'm going to tell you what, and it's very, very dangerous for someone to hear the truth and turn around and walk out this building knowing the truth of God and staying in the condition they're in already. It is a very, very, very dangerous thing. To him that have shall be given, but to him that have not shall be taken away that he have. Now, the setting of this parable, this is just the setting of this parable now. There are seven, I said, of these. It sets the tone. This one sets the tone of all of them. You need to read this whole chapter because every one of those are bound together in answering what I'm telling you this day. This is just one seventh of what it's talking about. So start with, we have to have the right word, which is the seed of God. We have to have the right witness, which is the sower that goes forth to sow. And we have to have the right welcome, which is the soil our hearts today, for we can have the right heart that God says for us to have today. And we see this now, there's more than meets the eye. The right word. In verse 3, it says, a sower went forth to sow. That is Jesus Christ himself. But you see, whenever Jesus Christ says, I have sent you into the world, every one of us is a sower. What I'm doing this very hour, I'm sowing the word of God. And what you had a Sunday school hour, if you was involved in your Sunday school hour, excuse me, you was involved there with sowing the seed of God. I know whenever I was a young man out on a farm, we didn't have all this, all type of equipment, these drills that's drilled seed in and all these harrows. What we'd do, we'd get out sometimes with a bucket and we'd broadcast seed. I don't know if any of y'all remember this or not. We'd get out there with a bucket and we'd have a pasture and we'd broadcast seed. We'd broadcast peas. We'd done a lot of this broadcasting. Well, that's the type of sowing that it's talking here for each and every one of us to do. We just kind of broadcast it. We just kind of sow it forth. And that's what the type of sowing, everywhere that we went, we sowed this seed all over the pasture. Now, the seed is the word of God, it says there in verse 19. The seed is the word of God, the word of the kingdom. Now, all seed sowers, we must sow the seed of God. Now, Hebrews 4 and 12, what it says, now, for the word of God is quick. Now, we're sowing the seed of God. It's quick and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thought and the intents of the heart. Now, I'm telling you what, a lot of times, do you read the Bible? Could I ask you this hour, do you read your Bible? I'm going to tell you what's more important, and that is for your Bible to read you. For your Bible to read you. We've been born again, not of corruptible, but of incorruptible seed by the word of God. Now, we are the seed sowers. Now, we remember back out on that old farm. Now, you get out there with that old harrow, that old soil. I'm going to tell you, you just rake it, that soil. And I'm going to tell you, you can turn that soil. You can plow that soil. You can harrow that soil. You can smooth that soil. You can wet that soil. But until you sow the seed, there will be no crop. You got to sow the seed. The seed is the word of God. There's power in the seed. You look at your lives this day, what the Spirit of God, the Word of God, has planted in your heart today. Where would you be today if it was not for the seed of God? A lot of us would be in prison, probably. Yeah, we ought to be in prison. We don't know what we'd be without the truth of the Word of God lodged in our heart, and that is called salvation. But see, the Word of God is powerful. Look at a little small flower seed, and it grew up and make a beautiful flower. Look at a small acorn, and grew up and make a great, mighty oak tree. There's power in that seed. The seed is the Word of God, but also the sower here in this parable talking about Jesus Christ. Now, in verse 37, as we see this, he is the Word of God. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. That's Jesus in this parable right now. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. Then we also are the sowers today. In Luke chapter 19 and 10, it also tells us, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. We ought to understand this great passage of Scripture, Psalm 126 in verse 5 and 6. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth weeping and bringing precious seed shall daily come again rejoicing, bringing sheaves with him. That is a great, great verse of Scriptures. I'm on the nearest thing to God is soul winning, seeing people saved. I'm going to tell you, a lot of people today think about all the mission fields. I told you a while ago, a lot of people want to go to the mission field. They want to do this, they want to do that in the mission field. But if you're not concerned about souls around right where you live, it won't do you no good to go to the mission field. If you can't win souls around you and you're not concerned about souls, it won't do you any good to go to a mission field somewhere or another. The seed is a sower. Is a seed has been sowed. Now, do you have a broken heart for people around you? Do you really? Ask you the question, how many times have you really laid in bed and you're worried about someone that's not saved? About your own family. About your own family. Say, well, I believe my family is saved. Well, are there any evidence? I want to see some evidence. Don't you? I believe you'd say yes to that. I'm going to tell you, we have to have the right word, but we also have to have the right witness, which is, the sower. Commence now, we must go. Compassion, water the seed. When the last time we cried? When the last time you had somebody on your heart that you need to go witness to? We have a message that redeems this world. The people, I'm going to tell you, from the devil's touch, and bring them up and set them on the throne of the glory of God. The Lord said to Ezekiel, I have heard thy prayers. I have seen thy tears. I've heard the prayers and seen thy tears. But it had to have the right type of soil. Four types of soil now. There's four types. Now listen, like I said, there's only one type that's saved. There's only one type. This soil, what it represents, the hearts of the people. Now, to start with, there's an old stubborn heart. Most of us heard this, but there's an old stubborn heart. Verses 4, and then answer verse 19. And when he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowl came and devoured them up. Answer then on verse 19. When anyone hear the word of the kingdom and understand it not, then cometh the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in the heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside. That person's not saved. You see, the devil's got some birds. You know why he got some birds? That every time the word of God is preached, he just picks away. He just picks away. He just picks away the word out of people's heart. They hear it, but he just picks it away. It's the one that says a stubborn heart, the hard heart, the wayside. What's the wayside? People walks on a path all the time. They walk on a path, they take the same path. Dirt gets hard. Dirt gets hard. In fact, I remember, like I said, sowing seed. And animals, cows, they go back to the house and the barn. They'd walk the same path. Isn't that amazing? They walk that same path. And if you didn't cut up that ground, you know, if anything was sowed in that place or that path, it gets so hard, it wouldn't grow. It wouldn't grow. The path. Seed could get in, but it couldn't get down. No reception because of traffic of the world. You see, whenever the people hear the word of God, they're getting to thinking now. If I do this, I got to give up that. You see, the traffic is walking on our minds so much. If I do this, hey, I'll have to start coming to church. But you know, I don't want to come to church. I want to do what I want to do. Because the path of this world is beat down what you want to do so much. I don't want to come. But you see, just as sure as I go down and join that church, you know what they're going to want me to do? They're going to want to start me giving. They want me to start tithing. And I got so many things I want to spend my money. You see what happens? They know what they want to do, but they're not going to come. They're not going to give. They heard the word of God, but they're not going to give. They're not going to give. They won't give themselves, much less their 10%. What happens to them? No reception because of the traffic of this world is hardening them. Hebrews 4:7 says, today, if you will hear my voice, harden not your heart. And then you see that old stubborn heart, you know, and then we have superficial heart. Verse 5 and 6. Some fell on stony places, and they had not much earth. And with four they sprang up because they had no depth in the earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no roots, they withered away. Jesus answered now, but he that receiveth, in verses 20 and 21, he that received the seed into the stony places, the same as he that hear the word, and you know how joy receiveth it, and had not root in himself, but endured for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he was offended. Some hears the gospel. Man, they say, man, that's a free trip to heaven. I want to go to heaven. Man, they come down, and you see a little tear, and they cry, you know, and they join the church, and they baptize, and flip, and you know what, pretty sick, you can't bring them back. I visit them, I buy the hundreds, and you can't drag them with a crawler tractor to church. They fall away. Why? Tribulation, persecution arises because of the word. By and by, it offends them. People get over and over. Because somebody said something to me, I hear it all the time. They're looking for an easy, and they're looking for a lazy and a cheap way to serve God. I'm going to tell you, emotionalism, they're not one. They're not one. Those people has never met Jesus Christ, only with their feelings. And their feelings get hurt so many times. I heard somebody say so-and-so, they told me. One of them men down at church, one of them deacons, I heard them talking all some bad language, and I don't think, that person hypocrite, or that person can talk like that, I ain't going to church no more. As I told you before, you ain't coming to church for none of these people here. I'm going to tell you, you're not going to stop me from coming to church. I'm coming for Jesus Christ. And if you get your eyes off the Lord, start looking at these different people, and even me, I tell you, yeah, you'll find something that you find fault with. It's not hard because ain't none of us perfect. But I'm going to tell you one thing. You are a child of your own emotions if that's what keeps you from coming to church. I don't care who you are. You are a child of your own emotions if you let people keep you from coming to church. Third kind of soul was a divided heart. Verse 7 it says, and some fell among thorns, and the thorn sprung up and choked them. He answered in verse 22, he also that receiveth seed among the thorns is that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of pride chokes the world and become unfruitful. A rival crop, because it's never been rooted out. See, when people are saved, they have to repent to be saved. That's something you're not hearing this day. You cannot be saved unless you repent. You have to repent. Here it is in this heart, this person has never repented because there were still the thorns growing up with that word of God. You've got to repent. Jesus came not to save you in your sin, but save you from your sins. That's the reason a homosexual cannot be saved and stay a homosexual. Or an alcoholic, a drug addict. They will come out of that lifestyle or stay in a cult. Tell me, says somebody left the such and such a church and went over to a cult. If that person's saved, they won't stay there. The Spirit of God will not let them if they're saved. We got a brand new type of gospel, you know, in the United States today. And it says that Jesus Christ came to save us from hell. That's not correct. Jesus did not come to save us from hell. That is a byproduct of salvation. Jesus came to save us from our sins. You better understand those two. Hell, being saved from hell, is a byproduct. But he came to save us from our sins. And not in our sins, for the weeds to grow up in our life. Save us from our sins. Excuse me, I'm almost finished with my throat. Now, thou shalt call upon the name of the Lord, and thou shalt be saved from their sins. You can't hold on to sins and still go to heaven. I'm telling you, you can't hold on to both worlds. Now, there's one good ground. Out of all four of these hearts, am I speaking to someone this day? Verse 8 and 9 tells us, but some fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Who that hath an ear, let him hear. Answer, he says in verse 23, but he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also bear fruit and bring forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. You see, if a person's saved, you know what they want to do? They'll want to see someone else saved. What have you done this day? Are you really saved today? Is your heart really this good heart here? That you want to see someone else saved? Some brought more fruit than others, but all brought forth fruit. Do you have, are you listening? Are you really listening? Jesus said, you know what our problem is today? It's not with the gospel. I'm going to tell you what, the gospel have not failed. And I tell you, I don't believe I failed in preaching the word of God. I don't believe Darrell failed when he was here preaching the word of God. I don't believe Brother Owen failed when he was preaching the word of God. And I catch you, go right on back to the woodpile, I believe, here at Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. Why is our church not full and running over? I'm going to tell you, it's not the gospel's fault. I don't believe it's the preacher's fault. I'm going to tell you, I don't believe it's your fault. I believe it's the fault of the people, the hearts. It just will not accept what God is doing in this world. And when they don't accept it, God has done all he can do. I'm fixing to give a song of invitation here where the oil comes. And I've done all that I can do. I preach the word of God, and I know that I might not have done a very good job. But every time I preach, I says, God, there may be someone there. God, our people has invited someone to be saved. A lot of people have got their name on a church roll, and even in Pleasant Hill. But I tell you, I don't believe their hearts is that good heart that God was talking about. Who they are, I have no idea. I have no idea who they are, but God knows them. And I tell you, if we had more hearts of this good heart, we wouldn't have a place to sit here in this church right now. God bless you as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.